time to take control of your happiness. This is Being Young at Any Age on EZ 1430. Now, here's your host, George Bentley.
Hello, hello, hello. This is George Bentley, your host of Being Young at Any Age, where we help you create your own self-directed guide and roadmap to happiness, health, wellness, and vitality, no matter what your current challenges are. And as you know from my seminars, I talk about Thrive Now, How to Die Young at an Old Age. And what I encourage you to think about in this program and the content we bring to you in this programming is, you know, what is the difference between those terms? What the idea of youthfulness versus age? And I suggest to you that, you know, age is just a number. It's how many times I've ridden this rock around the sun. Youthfulness we tend to interpret as more vitality, health, wellness, creativity, you know, that energy that makes life exciting, curiosity. That's why I refer to myself as a curious George. And I always try to lump this content so that we can dumb it down a little bit and make it easy. Again, I say, you know, I'd like to present this content in a way that my 99-year-old father can implement something out of the content he hears today to improve their life. And I've got a very exciting guest on the show today that I'll introduce here in a few minutes. But what I want to suggest, again, is that we try to simplify this by putting this overwhelming sometimes content. Just think about nutrition and diet and all the different information and ideas and thoughts around health, nutrition, and diet. It's mind-boggling. So the basics are pretty simple. You know, nutrition is a fairly simple concept, so it doesn't have to be complicated. So we try to simple it down, and we put simplify it, and we put them into major categories I call eat right, exercise, avoid injury, and reduce stress. And I'm really excited to have with us today as our guest, Dr. Stephen Schimpf. Dr. Schimpf is a professor of medicine. He's the former CEO at the University of Maryland Medical Center. He's also author of the book Longevity Decoded and six or seven other books, right? And the point of Longevity Decoded is to bring to you the seven keys to healthy aging. And as you know, if you've been listening, that dovetails very closely with our content and our messaging. And so, you know, I'd like to start off by just asking you, Steve, you know, can you simplify what is your basic message to the listeners?
Sure. Well, first of all, thank you very much for having me on your show. I appreciate it. Looking forward to our conversation. Well, here's the basic thing. If you look at our body organs and functions, every one of them starts to decline about 1% per year, sometime early in adulthood, certainly by the age of 40, but probably more in starting off around 20, 25 or so. So that just starts. And, of course, over time, 1% doesn't seem like that much, but eventually it's going to reach a point of disability. And then on top of that, we know that as we get older, we're more likely to develop chronic diseases like heart disease, cancer, Alzheimer's disease, and so on. But the real message, I would say, is that if we adjust our lifestyles, we can slow that organ decline. We can prevent most, probably not all, but most chronic diseases, and add healthy years to our life. I think most of us don't want to live longer if we're going to be unhealthy, but if we can be healthy, that's really the advantage. So that's the basic message, that it's up to us. We can make the changes, and if we do, we'll have a longer life, a healthier life, and less disease.
And, you know, I love to keep telling people I'm kind of consistent with these challenges, and I suggest to folks that, you know, we can listen to you or to me or anybody, and it's okay if as a result of that I disagree with what you're saying, and it's okay if I agree with what you're saying, but I challenge the listeners to go to the next step, and I suggest that it's our responsibility to understand why, right? You know, why do I agree with what Dr. Schimpf is saying, or why do I disagree with it? And now we're self-directed. I mean, this really is a self-leadership content that we're trying to deliver here. And, I am the captain of my own ship as I age. I mean, that's the real, being young at any age means that, to my belief, that I've got input and I can control. And that's what I like about your saying. So, you know, do you have a, I mean, is there something that you'd like to see come out of this conversation and all the effort that you're investing in this information at this point in your life?
Well, you know, I think you just said it in a very nice way. What I personally hope is that more and more people will understand that they can make it happen. They can make it work. And, you know, we have a tendency, and I think it's true for most people, let's go see the doctor, let's have the doctor fix it for me. You know, maybe the doctor will give me a pill, whatever. And, you know, having been and being a doctor, I know that there's some things we can fix, but a lot of things we can't fix. And the basics we can't, as physicians, fix are lifestyles. We can make recommendations, but we can't fix it.
Right.
That's really up to each of us as individuals. And so we have individually that power, if you will. We can make the change. And we'll talk about some of the details, I guess, in a few minutes, but it's not that hard. And yes, some things are hard. Do you want to give up chocolate chip cookies? Well, probably not.
Right.
But much of what we need to do, we can do, and it's not impossible. And it's not really hard to do.
No, and that's kind of, you know, what this is really all about is, you know, I don't know if you've ever heard of the Japanese concept of Kaizen, but they, you know, that theory is that I can change a behavior. But I cannot change a behavior unless I believe that I have the ability to change the behavior. So we tend to start on these human personal goals. Oh, I want to lose weight. I'm going to exercise. I'm going to improve my diet. You know, whatever it is. And, oh my gosh, I got to work out an hour a day, 5 days a week. Oh, I've got, you know, I can't eat anything with, you know, carbs in it, whatever. We put ourselves in these states of overwhelm. And we don't believe we can really do that. I don't believe I'm going to work out an hour a day. It's not going to happen. And this idea behind Kaizen is keep it so simple that, so for example, if you want to start exercising, just agree to do it for 2 minutes at the same time every day. You know, so just get up and exercise for 2 minutes, right? And it's like, okay, I can do that. And the theory behind it is once we start that process, then we can slowly move into these bigger changes. And I think that kind of dovetails with your message about us being in control of how we make these decisions, right?
Yeah, I think another way to say what you just said is go for the low-hanging fruit. Do what you can do. Don't feel stressed about it. Don't feel put upon. Don't feel like people like me are bullying you, because that's not the point. You can do what you can do, and if you can't do it all, that's okay. Do what you can.
Yeah, and you know, I tell people,
figure out that you can do it, then gosh, I can do more, like you just said.
And I'm definitely not the expert on any of these things. You know, I keep telling people I'm just an old boy from Arkansas, right? And the only reason I know what I know is I keep asking questions. You know, why? I had my personal doctor on, Guillory Gerard, a couple of weeks ago. And, you know, I had to confess when, you know, he's on the show, I'm not the most compliant patient. You know, I went into, you know, asking for some guidance and he gave it to me. And you know, I was not the best at following it. You know, and another example of that, and so my point is I try to practice what I preach, and I'm just as flawed as anybody else, but I really do stay committed to it. So last night I just entered in, you know, I want to exercise more. I'm one of those people, I need to do that. And so my 13-year-old daughter and I entered into an agreement where we're doing a 30-day challenge, and it's very simply, I did 10 push-ups, 10 crunches, and 25 squats. That's it. You know, and I can do that in 5 minutes. And so, you know, but I've got a little bit of a commitment. I've got a structure there. We simplify it. And so I love how you simplify what could otherwise be perceived as pretty complex, complicated information. So, for example, you know, when you talk about this decline in aging, this 1%, I mean, is it really like 1% a year? Is that an average? Or, you know, how do we really absorb and use that knowledge?
Yeah, well, Of course, nothing is ever exact in medicine or science. It's not exactly 1%. And at any given time, it's going to be different from organ to organ, from time to time, and from person to person. But it's a pretty good average that we can use. And it's a good place to start.
So do you have any general... I'm 60, almost 67 years old, right? You're about 10 years my senior. If I'm at this point in my life, do you have a better place? Is there something I should focus on first, you know, in terms of nutrition, health, exercise, stress, you know, medications? That's one of my big things. Is last week I did have you ever heard of the pharmacogenetic test where we can find out, you know, how our body reacts to different pharmaceuticals?
I think it's one of the great advances that's partly here and a lot more coming soon.
Well, and I, you know, I say this whole thing started because my mom fell in the bathtub and broke her hip. Healthy as a horse, wasn't the hip that killed her, but she went into the hospital and she had an adverse drug reaction to a pain med, caused her to have a CVA, and you know, now we're in a whole new ball game, right? And these kind of life events happen to all of us, you know, loved ones, friends, whatever it is. But there's a reality, okay? So if my body function is decreasing, can you give me an example of, you know, what kind of systems might go through that degenerative process you're talking about?
Well, sure. I think your mother's example is a good place to start. So our bones, you know, when we're 20 years old, our bones are as strong as they're going to be. And we can measure that using it that most of your listeners probably are aware of, called bone mineral density. And you can scan the bones to see what the density is. So that bone mineral density will start to decline in our early adulthood. And it goes down that 1% a year. Well, you don't know it. You can't see it. You can't feel it. But it's going down. It doesn't matter. But when you get to, if you take off 1% a year, starting at, say, age 30, when you get to be my age of 77, that's a lot of percentages that are going away. So if I fall, my risk of breaking something is greater than I was, certainly was, when I was 50 or when I was 35. Now, at the same time, remember I said that every organ function goes down, so our muscles start to decline, too.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't notice that originally either. But I've noticed over the last, 10 years or so, you know, we have a little cabin out in the mountains, and I love to chop wood, or actually split wood. It's just kind of a nice, relaxing, almost meditative thing. Well, I can still do it, but I can't do it as long as I used to.
Right.
And I probably don't have as much strength of it either. But anyway, and I look in the mirror now, and I say, gosh, I was never a big, strong guy, but where'd all those muscles go? Anyway, so muscles decline.
That implies you had muscles to begin with. I'm not sure I did, but
what's that?
My wife would say he never had any muscles except between his ears, right?
So then, you know, we have a balance function, and as we get older, our balance doesn't work as well.
Yep.
Now, ask anybody over the age of 70. See, you're not there yet, but ask anybody over the age of 70 to walk a straight line. One foot immediately in front of the other, and very few people can do it, and that's because our balance is down. So think about those three. So if my balance isn't good, I'm more likely to trip or stumble or whatever. If my muscles aren't strong, I have less ability to catch myself,
mm-hmm.
and then when I hit the ground, my bones aren't strong, I'm going to break it. So that's one example.
Well, that's why, you know, one of the big things that I really pound on is fall prevention, you know, avoiding injury. And, you know, I tell people the fact of the matter is, as we age, you know, our skin thins, our muscles weaken, our connective joints, you know, have a tendency to deteriorate. And we're at what was healthy and safe for us to do at one point in our life might not just be dangerous. You know, it could be life-threatening, right? I actually fell a week ago today. I fell and landed one-point landing on my tailbone, right? And I'm still, you know, I injured it, right? And I'm still in pain. I can remember, you know, 15, 20 years ago, or my kids, they just would have bounced, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And we can't do that anymore. So prevention and being proactive, you know, and I talk about the concept of pro-aging versus anti-aging. You know, how can we be against aging? You know, it just happens, you know. I don't care how much I resist it. I'm a day older today than I was yesterday, right? So let's be proactive. And your content, I think, really fits into helping us understand how we can manage ourselves. And I like to say, if I don't do it, nobody's going to do it for me. If you don't do it, nobody's going to do it for you. I mean, that's the challenge, is we have to have a self-directed roadmap to happiness, health, and wellness, right? So what do we need to do? I mean, let's start with diet. What would you say to folks about diet?
Well, you know, you said that there's seven keys, and the first on the list, I think, is diet. That may be the most important, although sometimes I think maybe stress should move up to number one. But anyway, diet. It's so important. And actually, you know, I don't think why am I stuttering here? Because I'm thinking diet's not the best word. Diet implies something negative to most of us.
Right.
You know, I've got to reduce my carbs or reduce my fats or this or that or the other thing. And I think if we think about it in terms of nutrition, that's probably better. And what can we do? What should we do? And so here's what I would do. I would think of, I tell people, think about the Mediterranean diet, because you can find it on the internet easily. You'll see a nice little pyramid. And what's at the base of the pyramid? Lots and lots and lots of vegetables and fruits. Different kinds of vegetables, dark green leafies, various colors. Same thing for fruits. And I don't know how you were brought up, but I was brought up in a family where my dad cut the meat, you know, a nice big piece of meat on the plate, and my mom cooked some nice vegetables, but they were sort of a small pile, and then there was a potato. So we need to change that. Two-thirds of our plate should be vegetables. And the meat should be much less, should be good, you know, we certainly can have it, but it should be about the size of a deck of cards.
Right.
So the real emphasis here, though, is we need to increase our vegetables.
Well, I was raised in the South in the 50s and 60s,
yep.
And we had the same diet, but it was, the proportions were different, and the vegetables were not included. So, unless they were fried or, you know, cooked in butter, you know, that sort of thing. You know, I used to joke, my mom's favorite meal to make me was spaghetti and French fries. If that gives you any idea of, you know, the nutritional balance there.
That's right, but it was good.
Oh, I loved it, yeah.
Yeah.
I ate a lot of it.
So, I would start, though, with nutrition, and the base of that should be the vegetables and the fruits, and then grains. They should be whole grains and not white flour. We'll come back to that point in a minute.
Okay.
But then, you know, beans, lentils, things like that, and then foods that have healthy fats, nuts and seeds, olive oil, avocados, and, of course, fish. Fish with their omega-3 fatty acids. Everybody knows that's healthy, but we don't eat enough of it. You know, we find a reason not to have fish.
Right.
But that's pretty important for us. And then you go up that pyramid, so you're going to have less than of dairy products, then less than that of poultry, and then less than that of meats. And at the very, very top of that pyramid, a little tiny corner at the very top, are sugar. Now, here's a number for you. I find hard to believe, but it's true. The average American eats about 154 pounds of added sugar per year.
Wow. Added sugar. So that's not counting the natural sugars that are in the fruit, things
right.
like that? Is that correct?
These are added sugars.
154 pounds.
So just a way to help visualize that, sugar used to come in 5-pound bags. I think it's smaller now. But anyway, 5-pound bags, 154 pounds. That's 35-pound bags on your kitchen table.
Jeez.
Well, if it's you and your spouse, that's 60 bags. And if you got four people in the family, well, that's 120 bags. It's a lot of sugar.
And you're
going to say, you know, everybody listening is going to say, I don't eat that much. Well, somebody does. And if I don't eat that much, then somebody else is eating more. Make it come out to that average.
Right.
So we eat a lot of sugars. We don't know where it is. I mean, we don't sense it. It's in sodas, of course. It's in candy bars. We say, well, I don't eat candy bars much. I have three sodas a day, though. How about the pie, the cake, the cookies? All those things have a pretty good dose of sugar. All the junk food has a little bit of sugar in it, or maybe a lot.
Let me ask you maybe a dumb question, okay?
Go ahead.
If my goal is to get the nutritional balance that I need, and I'm having a hard time eating that for whatever reason, right? What do you think about supplementing? Is that something I should consider to make sure I get at least some kind of nutritional input?
Well, yes. So a supplement, you just said the key word, isn't it? A supplement should be a supplement.
Now,
as we get older, most of us probably need some extra vitamin D. As we get older, we probably need some extra vitamin B12. But we should be getting most of our nutrients, meaning vitamins and minerals and the like, phytochemicals and so on, out of our foods. And they really come from our veggies again and the fruits. So a supplement has to be a supplement. It can't be a replacement for.
Right. That makes sense. Well, I I had someone, I'm trying to remember who it was, and I'm blanking on it, but, actually, I think it's the federal government, their guideline, their nutritional table guideline, whatever that is,
yeah.
And they're talking about the real foundation being 2.5 cups of fresh fruits and vegetables a day is kind of the foundational nutritional basis. Does that make sense? I mean, does that make sense to you, or is that
yeah,
crazy?
Yeah, you know, using the term cups is a little bit bothersome to me because if you're going to have, you know, a bunch of spinach or kale or collards or something like that, that's a little different than having, I'm trying to think of something that's more, that's kind of bigger, if you will, like a sweet potato.
Yeah.
So the idea is right. And I think the real message is, have multiple different vegetables over the course of the day and the course of the week. Look to have multiple different colors and truly try and include some dark green leafies, kale, arugula, spinach, what have you, every day.
Good stuff. Well, let me ask you something, okay? I mean, we're talking about nutrition and all this kind of stuff. I'm really interested in intellectual challenges as we age. My dad's 99 years old, and we just went through a real transition with him. He finally gave up driving. I used to joke until a couple of weeks ago, my dad's 99 and still drives, but he finally gave that up. And now he's at a point where I think he's facing intellectual challenges and being isolated and that sort of thing. Can you talk to that a little bit? I know that I may be jumping ahead, but that's kind of in the stress category, right?
Well, it is. So, we need... Let me just back up and put something into a quick context and then answer your question.
Sure.
There are about five things that I think are very important for us to do all of us all the time. One of them is good nutrition. The second one is getting some exercise. The third one is dealing with our stresses. The fourth one is getting a good night's sleep, and I don't think we don't pay enough attention to that, by the way. The fifth one, of course, is not to smoke, because that's terrible. And then, so all five of those are for our whole body. Then our brain needs two more things, and one of them is an intellectual challenge regularly, and the other is social interaction, social engagement, if you will. So, intellectual challenges, what might that be? One of the real problems with older people is they get isolated.
Yeah.
And they don't have, you know, their friends have died off, family doesn't come to visit, and so on. So they need these intellectual challenges, and it's hard to do, but not impossible if you're living at home. But, you know, it's good if you can get out to a senior center or live in a retirement community or wherever, where there's stuff going on that allows you to use your brain. So the point of this is that our brains require the stimulation, the challenge, if you will, in order to keep regrowing itself. Think of the brain often as sort of like a computer. It's just a piece of hardware. But in fact, it's ever-changing, constantly revising itself.
Well, it's kind of like
so
a muscle, right?
It,
if you don't use it, it atrophies.
It atrophies. But just like everything else, just like all those other organs. But if we use it, And so what are some uses? Mm-hmm. Reading a book, probably, if that's okay, that's not enough. But if you read a book and then got together in a group and talked about the book, so you kind of you're challenging yourself to think about it a bit, that would be more of a challenge. Playing a game, checkers, chess, would be the epitome of one. But that sort of thing that. We can't just sit there. Watching television is definitely not an intellectual challenge. Right. We may get frustrated watching the news, right. But it's not a challenge.
So we need to say that's the way I can do exercise is I put the remote control between my feet. So every time I change the channel, I have to do a sit-up. So.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, I know it's an idea. I don't know how good it is. But
but this gets back to what you said before. Do what you can do.
Right.
And make use of the time.
Yeah, and it doesn't have to be complicated. I got my dad where he'll stand up in his chair and do like, you know, two or three squats when he gets up or, you know, just throughout the day, adding a little bit in. Got him hooked on Sudoku about 4 years ago or whatever. Now he plays Sudoku. You know, he's 99. He's alone, right? And then he goes and plays spinners and does social games and stuff like that. And yeah, I tell people my dad in a lot of ways is really younger at 99 than he was at 83. But it's got to do with what he's done between those periods of time, right?
Sure. I think that gets back to your basic point is it's never too late to get started on doing whatever. You know, some other suggestions. My wife is an artist. She's a retired architect, but she just loves to watercolor. And she finds that to be a real intellectual challenge. It's not just, you know, pushing paper or paint around on a piece of paper, but, you know, she thinks those things out. How am I going to get the composition of it? What colors am I going to use? What am I trying to accomplish? What's the feeling in it and so on?
Yeah. It's very complicated. My wife does that, too. And what got my brain going, I couldn't do it simply because I'm dyslexic. And you start with white and you paint into the color. You know, you start with
yes.
it. And I'm like, okay, I can't handle that. I can't do that. But, you know, that is a really good example of it doesn't have to be hard. It doesn't have to be complicated to accomplish these things.
And it should be fun.
It should be fun. And, you know, I did a program for youth at risk years ago, and we were dealing with gang members and a lot of really tough folks. And I used to tell them, I'd ask them, you know, what's the difference between a vicious antisocial gang member, one of your leaders, and an Eagle Scout? And, you know, they're both leaders. They're both successful in what they're doing. One's in a negative environment, and the other is in a more socially acceptable, positive environment. So I suggested to them that, you know, you can kind of flip the switch. You decide which side of the coin you're going to be on. We've got about a minute left. So let me just ask you, you know, to that point there about it's up to us, is there one last thing you'd really like to say before we wrap this up?
Well, I think you just said it's up to us. Each of us has the power to make change, and that power is within us. It is, I'm taking a line now off your website, but it's we need our own individual personal revolution.
Yeah.
And we need to overcome that personal internal bureaucracy that says, no, I can't do it. I don't believe I can do it. The fact is, you can do it. I can do it. You can do it. We all can do it. Is it easy all the time? No. But it's challenge, and challenges are okay in life.
Challenges are life. I think it was Norman Vincent Peale said once that if I ain't got problems, I'm dead. You know, it's just,
that's right.
You know, it's just kind of what are we dealing with? Well, you know, thank you so much for coming on the show today. I just think you're really amazing. You're a pro. I appreciate your message. I want to do anything I can to support you in getting that out. I will, send my listeners to the website, and we'll put information up there on how they can get your book or get in contact with you. And I hope maybe we can have you back on the show again sometime. Would that be okay with you?
That'd be delightful.
I think we've got a few more things we might be able to chat about.
I think we could. We could go on for quite a while.
I think we're like kindred spirits on this stuff. Okay, well, that's the show for today. I want to thank you for joining. Again, this is George Bentley, your host of Being Young at Any Age, where we help you create your own self-directed roadmap and guide to optimal happiness, health, wellness, and vitality, no matter what your current challenges are. We'll see you next week. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Being Young at Any Age with George Bentley. Tune in next weekend to learn how to create a roadmap to achieve happiness, health, and wellness today on EZ 1430.